through the storm. Cover me. Sing it again. Oh, peace of God, cover me. Cover me. Cover me. Cover me, oh peace. ask, Father, your peace would cover us this evening, Lord. That you would come in this place, Lord, and you would saturate this place with your atmosphere. Ask, Lord, if we've done anything that you'd be forgiven us, Lord. Wash us by your blood, O God, and the word that is spoke this evening. Ask, Lord, you bless this service. We pray, offering this taken up, songs that are sang, the word that is spoke. Lord, may it just sink so deeply into our hearts, we pray. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. Amen. I want you to turn around and shake one of his hand this evening and welcome each other to the house of the Lord. If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will dwell in you, dwell in you. Sing that chorus again as he makes ready. I came to glorify his name. I came to glorify his name. I came to glorify the name of the Lord. I came to glorify his name.
Christ, I am free by the power of the cross. In Christ, I have been redeemed. No longer am I bound, but live in liberty, for Jesus is alive in me. In Christ, I am free by the power of the cross. In Christ, I now live redeemed. No longer am I bound, but live in liberty, for Jesus is alive in me. In Christ, I have His perfect peace. My past is gone, it's underneath His blood. I'm free because of God's amazing love. And I'm free, I'm free. I'm now singing the song redeemed. Oh, I'm free, I'm free. I'm now singing the song of the redeemed. My past is gone, it's underneath His blood. I'm free because of God's amazing is gone. It's underneath His blood. I'm free because of God's amazing love. In Christ I am free by the power of the cross. In Christ I now live redeemed. No longer am I bound, but live in liberty, for Jesus is alive in me.
Amen. Let's sing that chorus, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." Ask Sister Jessica and those who sing with her to come. And because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone.
Greater, all.
Amen. There's no greater place to put our hope tonight than the unfailing promises of God. Amen. Let's stand together, sing that song, "You Are God Alone," before time begin. Amen. You're not a God created by human hands. You're not a God depending on immortal man. You're not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are God alone from before time began. You are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You're the only God whose power none can contain. You're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy of everything we can give. You are God. That's just the way it is. Oh, you are God alone from before time.
Aren't you glad to know the unchangeable, unstoppable God? Nothing can stop Him. Amen. Oh, what a Savior that we have tonight. How great it is that we can come before His throne of grace. You are on your throne. That's the whole message. Amen. Friends, we're not in this alone. There's a King sitting on the throne. Amen. And He has dominion over everything. Everything has to bow to Him. Amen. What a mighty God. Amen. We have some prayer requests tonight. that we want to take before the throne of grace. And we want to pray for Jonathan Middleton. He's having a really rough time with his breathing and feels terrible. So remember Brother Jonathan in your prayers tonight. Also, prayers for, this looks like for Jean Bailey, in prayer for cancer spread throughout her body. And she needs our prayers tonight. Brother John Bell knows her and has asked for prayer for her. Sister Debbie Lowry is right now in the ER with very high blood pressure. She needs a touch from God tonight. Amen. Right now, she needs a touch from God. We need to touch the throne of grace. I want to thank you for your prayers for my mother. She still is in the balance and holds on tenaciously to life at this moment. But we just need God just to undertake for her. And man, we're not afraid for her to cross over on the other side, because we know this is not the end of life. It's only just one breath from here is the beginning. Amen. This is only preparation. That right there is the real life. This is a negative. That's the positive. And so we just pray that God will be merciful in this time. Amen. If you have a need tonight and you want to be remembered in prayer, Sister Lily Pedersoli came by today where we were at the church, the new church building, and asked for prayer. She went to the doctor. She's got a serious need. So let's go to prayer for these needs tonight. And God will just undertake for them. Amen. God sees your need tonight. Father, we're your children gathering together in your name. And we have sang the songs tonight of redemption and of the power of God, and that you're on your throne, and that you are God alone, and there is none other, and you're not somebody that we made up, but you are real. You are tangible because you can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. And you hear the needs tonight of your children, Lord. Our sister Debbie Lowry, they're in the ER with a high blood pressure. We don't know the cause. Lord, we don't know the reason. We don't know even how the body functions that it does this kind of thing. But we do know that we have a healer and a deliverer. And we're asking for deliverance tonight for her in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, that you can do what medicines can't even do. Or you can even take medicine and make them work. It doesn't matter how you work, Father. We're not confining you to our own desires. But we are just saying that you're in control. And that you are God alone. And that you are unstoppable and unshakable. I ask it in the name of Jesus that you'll meet the needs, Lord. There's Brother Jonathan struggling for breath. I ask God that you'd undertake for him. Lord, for this lady with cancer, God, Lord, somebody's loved one, maybe somebody's mother. I don't know the person, but you know. Lord, it touched the heart of a friend to write a prayer request. And I just ask in the name of Jesus, you'd be merciful to the person now tonight. You are able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we're able to think or ask. And Lord, you know my mother laying in the balance tonight. We know you're the healer, Father. No matter how you heal, Lord, what anointing that you use. If it turns, Lord, the face of your Holy Spirit turns toward the beast of sacrifice, the ox anointing, the working of the Spirit, and you take her across the divide. Lord, we're comfortable with that. But we just ask that you would move, Lord. For you heal all diseases. We commit it into your hands, Lord. You are God alone. And there's no man that can put a limit upon our time here on the earth. It is in your hand tonight. We ask that your hand of grace and mercy would be ours in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You'll change that to flow through me, Holy Spirit. Flow through me. Do have an announcement. The Sunday school program will be this Sunday. Be a Christmas program at 4 o'clock here at the church. You're invited to attend. And I'll just promise you, there won't be no Santa Claus.
Amen.
It'll really be about God sending a gift to the world and reminding us of the blessings that we have because the Redeemer came. There'll be a little dress rehearsal. Will be this Friday at 6:30. They need all the children there. Moms, please read the announcements on the bulletin board for costume instructions. And please send a sack lunch with your child on Sunday so they don't have to leave the church property. So there's a lot of work that has went into this. And I'm sure you will be blessed and buy it or enjoy it. Amen. Tonight, I have a dear friend that has been a friend to me for many years, and not only that, but a friend to Evening Light Tabernacle. We want to welcome Brother Bill Ivey tonight to minister the Word of God. And so if you will tonight, open up your hearts and let God speak to you through the Word of God. As we invite Brother Ivey to come, let's sing this song, Flow Through Me, Holy Spirit. Flow through me, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me.
Bless you. You may be seated for a few minutes. That's all the singing that we'll be doing. Thank you very much. Was that Andrew singing and playing? When did you learn how to play the piano? That was good. I enjoyed that. Well, it's good to be here tonight. We kind of come this week to have a little Christmas time with our daughter and her family and some of our grandkids, and so we look forward to being service with you tonight. And Brother Tim asked me to minister. I really didn't come prepared for that, so maybe I can kind of stumble through with something. I had to borrow a Bible from my grandson, Justin, to use tonight, so I hope that'll be okay. Today I got to go and see your new building. And, oh my, you know, I've... Brother Tim showed me around and some of the different things that you're planning on doing. You're kind of at a point where you're going into kind of a second phase, I guess, of getting the inside and all the finishing things and all of that. And well, you got a whole lot of work ahead of you. I appreciate Brother Tim's vision. He's always had a vision and a passion to do something for God and for God's people. Somebody has to kind of have a vision, and then others kind of follow behind that. And so we know that the Lord will bless that. And if it continues the way that Brother Tim envisions this building to be, the way he showed me, I don't know of a prettier church anywhere than will be there. And so you'll have much to be proud of in the right way, because I know that each one of you have put in a lot of effort and hard work to be able to have this place of worship. Sometimes what we have will serve its purpose, and then we have to move on to something else that God will make possible for us to be able to do and to have. Brother Tim related to me a dream and so forth that maybe took place 40 years ago that kind of encouraged him in some of those things. You know, sometimes the Lord will drop little simple things along our way to encourage us. I think I was telling Brother Tim there at the new building how that Brother Branham was in a transitional part of his ministry, and he had the blues and the blahs, and he felt like nobody cared. And he, not that you feel that way, but it was just an example that I want to give, and how that he went to church that night when he preached Perfect Faith, and he wanted to ask a brother to sing a certain song, and he forgot to do it. And he was in his study making preparations to come out, and that brother got up and sung the very song that he wanted to have sung. And he talked about how, you know, that encouraged me so much that I could throw that in the face of the devil when the devil would come to try to torment me about what I'm doing. I said, well, what about that, devil? And I thought about, you know, here's a man that's seen the blind eyes open, crippled walk, the dead raised, campaigns in which there was thousands led to the Lord, and just somebody maybe like Andrew singing a special encouraged him in such a way. And so sometimes little things along the way will point us in the direction that God wants us to go, and what we, and then we may even forget about it, and it comes back to our remembrance, and it gives us faith to go on in what we want to do. I know we built a new tabernacle about 10 years ago, I think. It don't seem like it's been that long, but doesn't time fly by? I look out there and see all you old people. You used to not be that old. What happened to you? But anyway, we built a new tabernacle. And as we were nearing completion, I had a vision in my heart that I thought about Brother Branham when he remodeled the tabernacle, and how he commented about the first service that he had there in God in Simplicity. He did a wedding. The first thing that was done in his new tabernacle was a wedding. And he made the statement how that may this be complementary to my ministry, that I will present a bride to Christ through this effort and so forth. And so in my heart, I prayed. I didn't tell nobody, but I prayed. I said, Lord, wouldn't it be nice if we could have a wedding and in our church would be the first service? I never dreamed that it would happen. And as we neared completion, a young couple was planning on getting married. And the mother of the bride said, Brother Ivy, when is this building going to be done? And I said, well, we have a projected date of so-and-so and so-and-so. She said, well, my daughter's wedding is going to be on that day. I said, well, now, wait a minute. I don't know that we can, do that. And she said, no, we're going to do it. We're going to have it finished so that my daughter's wedding can be on that day. And, well, sure enough, it all come together. And the very first service that we had was a wedding there in our new church, in our new tabernacle. And it came back to me, you know, and just a little thing like that. And I thought, well, may it be complementary to my ministry, Brother Tim, that in my area where God has called me to preach, and to those that he's given to me to pastor, that I can present a bride to Jesus Christ. And so it's those little things that maybe not the great big things, but those little things that come along in our lives that really give us faith to think, thank you, Lord, that you led us in this direction or whatever it may be. Oh, it was a few months later. We were having church and a young couple came into the service. I didn't know who they were. I found out after service that they were visiting a family that attended our church that they were related to. This little couple was from, I think, Indiana, if I'm not mistaken. And after service, I was in the vestibule talking with them, and they were telling me why they were there. And he said, you know who I am? I said, I don't know who you are. He said, well, my mother and dad was the couple that Brother Branham married when he dedicated the tabernacle and in God in Simplicity. And I thought to myself, oh, thank the Lord that even the Lord would let that come by. And you know, it's those little things, Brother George, that encourages us along the way and gives us faith to know that He is with us, and we appreciate it so much. Could we stand together? Just a few things I wanted to say to kind of get to know you again. You know, you're old friends, and those are the best, Brother Branham said. And you make and meet new friends all along the way, and you cherish them and you appreciate them. But you go back to them old ones, and they're precious. They really are. Brother Kenneth, good to see you back there. And so it's so good to be here and have the opportunity. As I said, I didn't plan on speaking, but maybe the Lord will permit me to say something. I look around and I see people that I really don't know. But I know that maybe you were little when I left. It was almost 15 years ago that I left here. Well, time goes by quickly. Almost 15 years ago. And you know, I'm the same person that I was when I left nearly 15 years ago. I believe you're the same church, the same people. The only difference is, Brother Tim, is like you, I've got a little older, you know, but I don't know. With me, it's slowed me down a little bit. I always was slow. I never was accused of being fast. But maybe not slow in the way Brother Tim is, you know. How can I say this? I'm not going to preach a two-hour sermon. I'm not leading up to that. But I, you know, I think more carefully about what I say. I'm a little slower at getting it out. I'm a little more deliberate in what I say. And so you bear with me if would you do that. You know, and I'd appreciate it. But you can still say amen and praise the Lord. And I would appreciate it. So you could turn in your Bibles to St. John, the first chapter, the third and the fourth verse. Two verses and that we'll take as a text. We at our church tonight, we've been studying on Wednesday night, Christ is the Mystery of God, going through it. And Brother Ben Pruitt usually fills in for me when I'm going. And my, he had to go to the hospital. Last time I left, I believe the same thing happened to him. I guess I'm just going to have to quit leaving or something. Anyway, we had somebody else that could step up to the plate, and we have a wonderful church. And there's certainly a fine, lovely group of people that we dearly love and that love us. St. John, the first chapter and the third verse, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4, in Him was life. I want you to notice that word. Life. In Him was what? In Him was life, and the life, what was it? Life was the light of men. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the grand privilege that we have to be here with friends. I certainly feel like I'm at home. I feel like that I can just say whatever I feel in my heart to say, and I feel relaxed to be able to be here with them. I thank You for this church that is stood the battles of the faith through the years, and it's going on in all that they do for You, and we appreciate it so much. Bless them. And now we pray that You'll take the Word of God and speak to the hearts of those that are here in a special way, that there could be something said that would minister to them and would edify and build them up for the days that are to come. And we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to title this tonight, two words, creative life. This thought actually comes from Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed, as we have been going over it on Wednesday night, as Brother Tim went over the seal book, I believe it was, many years ago. I remember it in the old wooden building over there, and perhaps one of the best studies I've ever heard Brother Tim deal with. And I don't know, it probably took you about 2 years to get through with the entire book. And I think those things are very necessary to help stabilize our faith and our life and what we believe. But as we were going through that, I came across a place where Brother Branham spoke of creative life, and it brought some things to me that perhaps will be a blessing to you tonight. You know, I have, all my life, I have always questioned evolutionists. How did this vast creation create itself from nothing, as they would believe? If it started with nothing, then it would still be nothing. Unless there was an intelligent life, self-existing one out there somewhere in that vast nothingness that we could call it creative life. The Bible tells us that the vine cannot bear fruit. It's dependent upon the branches. It has to have branches for that to come from. But now the branch cannot bear fruit until it's energized by the vine. And so the two has to be together. Is that right? Yes. To create fruit. Jesus said, I am the vine, you're the branches. And you can only be a Christian when you take the life of Christ into you. And if the life of Christ is in you, then you produce that same life, or the life of Christ. Amen. And so as Jesus said, the works that I do, you shall do also. The same works. Why? Why? Somebody help me, huh? See, because it's the same life, right? And so now, and we've heard this and we understand it, that if I told you that the life of Jesse James, and I use him because where I live, they say Jesse James used to come through there a lot and patronize some of the local citizens. And so that's why I use him as an example. But if I told you that the life of Jesse James was in me, then you'd expect me to have 6 guns and go around robbing banks. If I told you the life of Leonardo da Vinci was in me, then you would expect me to paint pictures and maybe make a statue or something like that, right? And if the Holy Spirit is in the church, then if that is the Spirit of Christ, then it'll do the works of Christ. Jesus said, if you can't believe me, believe the works that I do. They are the ones that testify of me. What did it testify of? The life that was in him. Is that right? Now, this is A, B, C, D. Stay with me. Now, if the Holy Ghost is still real, then the Holy Ghost will testify for himself. Is that right? See? Now, the Word in you produces a life. It produces the life of Christ. We want to be Christians, we want to be believers, we want to produce fruit, and so it is. It has to come from a life that would produce that, and so that life is the Word that is in you. Now when this Word comes to you, you are not yourself no more. You are Christ. You don't think your thoughts. You have no thoughts coming. The life that was in Christ is in you from then on. And yet, I'm afraid many times we, even as ministers, sometimes we fail perhaps to get people to Christ as we should. We get them to a church, to a theory, but we must get them to Christ because He's the only one and the only one that has life. Amen. And as the Bible says, he that has a son has life. Amen. Now, if the life of a man that is dead can be projected in you, you will live the same life that he lived. If the blood of a man was a certain type and you took the blood from one man, changed the blood of the one man into another, it would absolutely be that type of blood that would be in him. And if your spirit that's in you is reckoned dead, and you are anointed with the life that was in Christ is upon you, then according to the Bible, according to Romans 8:11, if the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it'll also quicken, and the word quicken means to make alive. It'll also quicken your mortal bodies, a body that is dying. That same life, that same power, the same benefits that he had when he was on earth that had come from God himself. You see, he redeemed you because there was a seed that was foreknown by God. And it was foreknown because your names were put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the earth. Otherwise, you're not even in the framework of being redeemed. Is that right? See now, but now we ask ourselves still many times, where did we come from? Where did you come from? How did you get here? We understand, we've been taught that we were a thought to begin with. We could say it in another way, just we were a plan. You weren't an accident. Nobody here was an accident. If you were a thought predestinated by God, to be predestinated by God, we understand again, was to be foreknown by him. Predestination is where we're going, our destiny that brings us there. We are predestinated because we were in God's mind to begin with. And so we could break it down again and say it in another very simple way. We were part of a plan. We were a seed. A reproduction of that in the beginning. You see, a reproduction of eternal life. And that life was the Greek word zoe. It was God's own life. So there is a life that created something that was eternal that comes into us because of where we come from and who we are. Amen. Now, the woman can't produce life alone. She's a carrier of the egg. The male produces the germ of life into the egg. The blood cell has the life. And we are brought here naturally that way. And we come actually more mysterious than the virgin birth. An example would be that I was raised in a family of four children. Myself and two brothers and a sister. I was raised in a very godly Christian home. If I have any regrets, and they're not really regrets, about my childhood, is that I had such a wonderful childhood. That I was raised in church. I was raised to serve the Lord. I was taught to pray and to come to the altar. I can remember times that Daddy would come up and shake me because I'd been at the altar so long. Everybody else, a lot of the other people had done, went home. And he'd come and shake me thinking that I was asleep, but I wasn't asleep, Brother Tim. There was something underneath that blue shirt that was beating that I wanted to be right with God. I may not have been 5 or 6 years old, but I wanted to be right with God. What was that? What was that? I remember, I had to have told you the story. When I started first grade, they didn't have kindergarten. I didn't think, I was raised in Assembly of God Church. My daddy's being an Assembly of God pastor. I didn't know there was anything but the Assembly of God Church. So sometimes we get so protected that away, we think that there's no other church but us. But there's a lot of churches. But why are you here? Mom and Daddy brought you. That's a good reason. But there has to be a greater reason than that. And I found out there was other churches. There was other ideas, other beliefs. Little old six-year-old boy come home from school and walked up to my mom at the kitchen table. Or she was at the sink, as I recall. I said, Mama, how do we know that we're right? That's a pretty serious question for a six-year-old to be asking his mother. She knew what I was talking about. I was talking about God. I was talking about what we believe, what the church that we attended, and the things that we've done. And why would I even ask such a question? Huh? You young boys, why would it be that I would ask such a question as that, 6 years old? Huh? Does it even sound like an intelligent question for a little bitty kid to ask? Huh? Can I go out and play? Can I do this? Can I do that? Would you buy me a toy? Do I have to go to school tomorrow? I always hated school. I'll be honest with you. I never did like it. From the first day to the last. Why would I ask such a question? It was something deep down in the inside of beyond that little shirt that I was wearing, it beat under my chest. There was more than my heart, but it was something inside that heart that was crying out to the Maker that I had come from. Amen. Wanting to go back to it. Well, I didn't know any theology. But I did know I come from somewhere. I knew that I wanted to go back there, and I knew that I wanted to be right. Not just because Mom and Daddy told me, but I would obey. I was my mother and dad, certainly, but I wanted to know myself. Today I'm grown, and I know a little bit more than what I knew then. And I look back, and I visited with my sister yesterday and my brother. I have another brother. I didn't get to see him. My mother and daddy's done gone on to their reward. And they don't serve the Lord. I don't want to tell you what they do. They're good people according to worldly standards. And I love them deeply and dearly. And I would give my life for them if I needed to. But, I think they went to the same altar that I went to. They went to the same church that I went to. They had the same mother and dad that I had. Huh? I wasn't no better than them. But why did God choose me? Why am I here tonight preaching to you? And they're somewhere else maybe where they oughtn't to be. It's the grace of Almighty God. It's not Bill Ivy. It's not some pastor or some priest or some church. But it's the grace of Almighty God that looked down and predestinated me from the beginning of the world to be His son. There was a life there. A life. They could create that desire. That maybe wouldn't be in somebody else. Now notice, talking about the creation of the world, and I don't know all the science of those things. I wouldn't even begin to try to understand that. I've read a little bit about it. But even if you had substance to begin with, there would be nothing to reproduce. If all you had was substance, there would be nothing that you could reproduce without a life-giving source to create life. We are people that are made in the image of God. If we came from God, then there has to be a life that gave us life. And there had to be something in us then to receive life or to reproduce the life that was energized into us. And we understand that to be a seed that was there. That wasn't given to us when we came down to an altar. But it was a deposit, something that God had placed there. You see. And so a seed, naturally or spiritually, will not produce anything. No matter how much seed it is. We live in farming country. And a seed cannot produce anything unless it's been impregnated or, we could say, germatized. The He'll just lay there and lay there and lay there. Now, Jesus was God's love in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we know from this book that Justin loaned to me that Jesus was God's love. And that love produced a body. Not born of sex, but a man. Yeah. Under the fall. Not fallen. Not a fallen man.
Right.
Born by a creative power of God. Amen. This is important. Then it became, because of that, then it was God Himself living in that body, projecting His Word out. That's what made Him God, okay? Not a second God, not a third God, another God. But it made Him the God, projecting out God. Why? Because it was the love of God that came, the creative power of God that came into that body that God created. Second Corinthians 5:19. I don't know if you show these scriptures or if you even can on the wall, but I got a few that I'll, if you can, you show them. If you can't, that's okay. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That word reconciliation, that is like a settlement or the ending of a conflict. It's over. It's finished, you see. That becomes an absolute to us as believers. When our sin is confessed upon the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ, that as we've been taught again, that ink that is placed in the Clorox bleach, and you let it sit there in that bottle, if you've ever seen that before, maybe stir it around a few minutes, and right there before your eyes, suddenly that black ink goes back to the elements or whatever it was when it started. It's not there no more. That's what happens to your sins. See, it breaks it up until it goes back to where it came from. Places a man across the chasm again as a son of God. That is the creative power of God. That is the only thing that can do that for me as a little 6-year-old boy when I begin to be old enough to give my heart to the Lord and to be filled with His Spirit. Daddy didn't do it to me. Mama didn't. They did their part. But they couldn't create a son of God. They could create a little boy through the birth process. But they couldn't create a son of God. And that's what the new birth is all about. Realizing you're a son of God. Amen. But only God can create that. The church can't create it. A youth department can't create it. A preacher can't create it. Only God can do that. There's no man. There's no rehab center somewhere that can change a person to where they could be a son of God. See? There's nothing they could do that. It is Christ's life. There has to be a life. It's not just substance alone that does that. But there has to be a life. And His life alone that does that. There is no man that has anything to do with our birth. Amen. Except Jesus Christ. See, the seed in you that comes into you. And again, this is A, B, C, D. I'm not saying not one. I haven't said one thing new to you yet. I won't either, by the way, that Brother Tim, the prophet of God, has taught us. The Word of God teaches us, because I believe the messages came.
Amen.
In 1970, Brother Tim, I think it was, when I came to the message out of denominationalism, I never looked for another one.
Yes,
I was satisfied with what I found.
Amen.
I,
that's
I didn't want nothing else. Oh, I grew in what I'd received, see. But I didn't look for nothing else. Now, the seed is in you. It's in you. When? Again, you know it was predestinated by God. That seed that was in you then is overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit is God, Christ in spirit form, not another God. And it overshadowed you. How did it overshadow you? It began to woo you. Maybe you were in a bar room somewhere, and you were drinking your third beer. And I don't know how many beers it takes to get drunk. I'm, by God's grace, I never drank. I don't know. You know, well, maybe you're on your third beer, but all of a sudden something began to speak to that little heart inside of you and say, you know you're not supposed to be there. Huh? What was it? The Holy Spirit. Because there was something there that belonged to Him, that come from Him, and He was looking for it, and maybe He found you on a bar stool somewhere, and He called you there, amen. Maybe you didn't respond right then. Maybe it was years later, but you did respond, or if you haven't, you will respond, amen. See, if these little boys here, I pick on them because they're on the preacher row up here. Let's see if they're gods. They're gods. I don't care if they become the biggest sinners in Homer. They're still gods. He knows how to get them. And I don't think you'll be the biggest sinners. I think you'll be good boys all your life. See them taking notes there. They're preparing a sermon right now, I bet. Brother Tim, they want us to preach Sunday. That one right there. Where was I at? I told you I was getting old, you know. I don't have my notes here together. I usually have my computer and I use that then. So. Oh, yes. The Holy Ghost overshadows you. It woos you, right. Brother John. You remember when the Holy Spirit wooed you? Maybe sometimes you don't even know what it is. And you wonder, how come I can't do what everybody else does? Why can't I can't enjoy myself like everybody? What makes me so different? Maybe I was adopted. Maybe that's why I'm so different. Mama, was I adopted? You knew you were different. You're like me. I can see it on your face. You're just like me. You know, I'd always get caught. How many of you were like that when you were growing up? I mean, a few of us were. The rest of you, I don't know. Lord, help us. But I'd always get caught. My brothers and sisters never would. But, you know, we'd get out there in the woodshed and they'd be trying to smoke. And I never did smoke, thank the Lord. And I'd wait till they were gone because I know I've told you the story. But some of you never heard it. But, you know, and I'd wait till they left because I knew that I'd get caught. I didn't even want them there. I was getting ready to smoke, you know, struck that match, you know, and all of a sudden the voice of God behind me thundered out, "What are you doing, Billy Wayne?" My daddy was the voice of God, by the way, when I was at it. But you know what? You know what my daddy did to me? Have any idea? Got any idea? Want to guess? My daddy gave me many whippings. I got my share and your share too. Lord rest his soul. But he didn't whip me that day. He took me to the bedroom. Just as bad, I mean, you know. He opened the Bible and he began to talk to me about smoking. He began to tell me, you know, that, you know, Christians don't smoke, don't defile the body that way, you know. It's like your daddy taught you all your life. And you're the rest of you. And he showed me in the Bible there. And then I remember big old alligator tears coming down this big old boy's cheeks. And I thought I was a big old boy, maybe 10 years old. And he knelt me down there at the bed. There I repented for smoking, though I never smoked a cigarette in my life. But there I repented and asked God to forgive me for even trying that. I got caught. They got by with it. What about Joy? What about Deborah? What about David? What about Bill Ivy? God's seen that I got caught. God's seen that you got caught. You're one of His. Thank God He caught us. Because you'd have never caught Him. So that's the Holy Ghost that does that. That's when the Holy Ghost comes, and I have lost track of time here, but I know this is Wednesday night, but let's just continue on. And but that was the Holy Ghost that came, that overshadows you, that begins to woo you, because there's something in you. There's another life that is in you that's beyond the life of mom and dad. And yet all along, even you little boys there, all along, there's another life that is there that kind of controls you, that tries to take a hold of you, but it can't take a hold. It tries to take a hold, but when Christ's life comes in to the seed, the other has to go. Amen. Thank the Lord, I would be the biggest sinner that there could be. See, it is His life then in me, not my own. It's His life bringing forth His evidence of my faith, of your faith, of the kind of faith that we have. And then it's a life that is reproducing something, that is creating something. See, from nothing. From things that seem like is nothing. What is faith anyway? Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Now, faith is the substance. Now, here's a substance that we're starting with, nothing, which is not really nothing, but yet it comes from nothing, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's nothing there. But your faith tells you it is there. Let me give you an example before I go to the rest of the next scripture on there. And do you know... I'm not trying to be super spiritual, Brother Tim, because I don't really believe I'm a very spiritual person at all. But you know, I can see angels all over this room. Can you see them? Look around. Now, I'm not talking about people. Do you see angels in here? Can you see them angels? You know? I do. I really do. See, where are they at, Brother Bill? The Bible tells me that the angels of the Lord are encamped. That means they stay. They're not there and leave. Are encamped about them that fear God. How many of you fear God tonight? Oh, how many angels do I see here? By faith, I know they're there. Though I don't see the substance, but my faith creates the substance that they are there. And I can say they are there. There was a little girl in our church. She was about 9 years old, and she is about that age. And here the other day, she came to church, and the deacons come and got me. She was in the nursery. I think she was dying. Mother was in there with her. She had sugar diabetes, really serious, very serious. She had to take these insulin shots constantly and just torment this little girl. I went in there and said, "What's the matter?" I said, a few days ago, it's actually been probably a year ago or so. And her mother said she had a dream yesterday when she got up that God had healed her of her sugar problem. And so when she got up, she went and got all of her sugar shots and medicine and everything and threw it in the trash. And And her mother didn't want to doubt, you know, and wanted to believe. And the girl was dying, I believe. I remember kneeling down beside her and I said, "Now look, Natalie, God's a healer. Whether you take your shots or not, God's still a healer. I don't want to wear these glasses. But you know, God can heal me whether I wear them or not." Huh? I said, "God, don't worry about that, them shots. You let your mother give you them shots. And the thing that I want you to do is you get up from here and you tell everybody that Jesus healed you. You had a dream that he healed you. And you keep telling that. And you never quit saying that Jesus is healed me." Sometimes I'll test her, Brother Tim. I'll see her out in the churchyard playing. I'll walk by and say, "Natalie, are you still healed?" "Yes, sir, Brother Ivy." Still taking that insulin. Is she making a fool out of herself? No, she's making a saint out of herself. Why? Because the life that is in us has to be evidence of our faith to reproduce what kind of life is in us. Verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that you can't see. Verse 2. For by the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed, oh, I love this, by the word of God, so that things which are seen were made of things which do appear. Amen. Amen. That's how we got this universe.
Yeah.
Young people, when you go to school, that's how we got this universe. See, his life in us is a creative life that brings forth his evidences or his signs. Signs, what kind of signs? What kind of sign did Moses have? What kind of sign did Jesus have? What kind of sign did Brother Branham have as a prophet of God? You say, "Well, this sign, that sign, so forth." And signs of life. What kind of signs are you supposed to have? You may not do what Brother Branham done. You may not do what Moses done. But if that creative life is in me and you, it will produce signs. Signs of life, proving to the world there is eternal life. Zoe, God's own life, which is a creative life. Amen. That creates. And we're proof of that. And it's our faith that believes it. You know, it's like Brother Branham creating squirrels. I know whenever he preached that and talked about that, remember he came to the Pentecostal church. That was the bride for that day. There wasn't churches like this. And he came. I was looking for a clock. Oh, my watch is here. Yeah, okay, I got a little more time. Let me hurry. He came to the Pentecostal churches. You know, Brother Tim, you've taught it to us through the years. And Brother Branham said, you know, he was told by the angel of the Lord to plant in their own buckets. Remember that? And to the oneness and the Trinitarian. But the fruit was found at the cross. The tree grew up to heaven there. And he came preaching that to them. But, you know, and then whenever the supernatural came, not the signs and the wonders and the miracles, they love that. But when the supernatural birth of the Word, because they were Pentecostal babies, they turned away from that. And then even hearing about the supernatural speaking of squirrels, that was just going a little bit too far. That was a little bit over the deep end. And obviously he's going off somewhere. That was their thinking, not your thing, but their thinking, you see. In those things, they could not see that, or they could not recognize that. But see, what was it? It was that as the word came, it was producing a sign of life to us, something that was being born in our heart, that was changing us, that wasn't changing them. That they couldn't see it and they couldn't accept it and they couldn't understand. Well, we couldn't create that. Well, man couldn't do that, but God can through a man. You see. But it was showing us something. It was showing us God's life. No, look, let me go on. First John, if you could show that, 1 John 1 and 1. Oh, there's a clock right here in front of me. Sorry, I didn't see that. 1 John 1 and 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of what? What kind of life? What was it?
Word of life.
Word that was life, right? Verse 2. For the life, or we could say that life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and we bear witness, and show unto you that, what kind of life? Zoe, God's own life, right? Which was with the Father and is manifested unto us. John 6:63. Let's just kind of hammer this down in scriptures. John 6:63. Not 1 John, but St. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Again, to quicken is to make alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. Our flesh is dying every day. That's why you got gray hair and is losing your hair. Well, be careful. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you. What was it again? What was it that? What? The words that I speak unto you, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, they are spirit and they are
life.
So what's life?
Word.
The word. Huh? They are spirit and life. Not just a word that you would say, yet it is a word that you would say, but it's a word that is said by the Spirit. It is spirit spoken word. Amen. Now this is Bible, okay, so it's nothing new. I haven't given you nothing new yet, have I? Hold on to your seat, because I'm not. I don't have anything new to give you. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. And how do you believe? By hearing the word. Hath everlasting what? And shall not come into judgment. You won't go through the tribulation. But it's passed from death, from just mortality to life. You see, we were created for that purpose. And let me just hammer that in, Brother George, a minute. You're a good drive it, man. You know, I've seen some of your artwork. You're an artist. You've helped this church and other churches and things that you've done and all. And yet you have a purpose in life, naturally, to do those kind of things. Some of you other brothers and you sisters. I know sometimes you feel like your life is useless and you don't have no part and you don't belong or you don't fit or whatever. You have a purpose. You're a housewife. You keep your home, you raise your children, but yet there's a higher purpose for you, Brother George. God has something much higher than that. Much higher than even you sisters that head at the kitchen table or whatever you do. Maybe you have to help your husband in some way, maybe cleaning houses or something like that. And that's a purpose. That's an honorable purpose. But God's got a greater purpose. We were created for a purpose, yes, naturally, but there's a greater purpose. Let's look at that greater purpose. That's what I'm trying to come to tonight. In John, the first chapter, in the first verse. In the beginning was the Logos that come out from God, the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. This is where it all started, right? This was a creative life that came out from God into a visible form. They begin to create. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him, who? The Word that came, and it was made flesh among us. In Him was life, and the life, this life was the light of men. Without light, you're dead. They say that when you get an X-ray, Brother David, I don't know where you're at, but, and they say, and I don't know, I haven't studied those things, but when an X-ray is taken, that picture is taken of that light that is in you. You have so many, you have so much light that is there, and the older you get, the less light you have. Brother Tim, me and you, our light's going out. Sorry. But when it goes out, we may be 15 years since I left here, and some of you don't even know who I am. 15 years after I'm gone and you're gone, there'll be very few that know who we are if the Lord tarries, other than those that were really close to us. It's how valuable I am and you are. But to God, you'll go on in the eternities and on. You'll continue to learn and receive and believe. Amen. So this life was a light. And it became the Word. And that Word became flesh. Lived among us. And we have beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now that creative life, His creative life that came from God in the beginning, is in us now. Not going to be in us. That same light. A greater light than that natural light. There's a greater light that'll always remain. It's in us now. It's something that man cannot create, because God is the Creator, which is in His church, expressing His eternal love to His church with that life, with that light. And what does it do, that life in us? What does that life that has been given to us, that has come into His church, into His people, into His body, what does it do? It has to do something. There's a purpose, a greater purpose, Brother George. You sisters, a greater purpose. His Word creates. Now, the Word is in you, and that's a light, and that comes from God. It's a creative Word. It will create something. It's not just something you hang on the wall and look at or pin to your refrigerator. It creates. When the Word, life, comes to you that can receive it. It can only come to you that can receive it. Not everybody can receive it when it comes. But you that can receive it when it comes to you. You see, we are creating right now. And I'm skipping ahead just a little bit, another world. Somebody's got to create it. Now, a human can't, but God can. And what's in you? Something to reproduce. I don't want to be a part of this world. The other day, a few months ago, when I listened to the news and the Supreme Court made it legal for gays to marry, it was like I was in another world suddenly. That I wasn't born in. I thought, this is not real. This can't be real. Such insanity. And it just seemed like sin has been in a free fall ever since. People don't care nothing about God. I was in the post office the other day, and they're in Piggott, and check on my mail, and just as I stand there waiting in line, there's just this young man. He's in his early 20s. He was about as tall as me and probably a little bigger than me, and looked like his mother beside him, and looked like he'd come off a skid row or something. A little girl behind the desk, and he was complaining he didn't get his mail, and the manager stepped up and he said, "Mailman ought to be fired. I didn't get my mail," and blah, blah, blah. And it was right behind the post office, and so the manager said, "Well, I'll go check right now. Maybe they put it in the wrong one." And the manager left, and I stand there, and all of a sudden he started cursing, using the F word and being vulgar. And I've got a problem. And I've always had this problem, Brother Tim, and that, I guess it was the upbringing that I had, is I just can't handle disrespect. I just can't handle it. My kids know that. And I thought, well, I won't say nothing. They just come out. I said, son, it's not right that they lost your mail. But let me say this to you, young man. You don't have a right to cuss like that in front of that little girl standing there. And I'm a minister of the gospel, and you using that foul language like that. I thought, I'm an old man. He's fixing to knock me out, you know. But at least I got the last word in. But, you know, he pulled his shirt open. There's a big old tattoo right there, and I couldn't read it. I was a little bit nervous of what he was fixing to do, if he was being Superman or something. And he said something. It was anti-something, I guess. He looked at me, and he said, I don't give a blankety blank about your God. I said, son, you don't care about people? I don't give a blankety blank about your God. You know what he's going to do next? He said, Mama, come on, let's go, and walked out. But you know, I got to thinking after I left, if authorities from the post office would have been there and seen what I'd done, they would have called 911 on me. Because they have freedom of speech. And I broke the law. I don't want to be a part of this world. Oh, Brother Branham said that we could create a world. Didn't he tell us that? If we had the faith, we could do that. Listen, I believe we're creating that world now that we can step off into soon.
Amen.
Go back and listen to things that are to be. Future home of the bride. We're living in a very difficult time that we never dreamed that we would be here. It's a very difficult time. It's a neurotic time. Brother Branham said it way back then. It is so neurotic today, even among believers. And that nervousness and that tension and everything is real and imaginary. And something that is imaginary can be real to you. These are times of suffering, mental illness. And yet we had a prophet in the end time that screamed out in Hot Springs, Arizona, or Arkansas, not far from here. They already can prove that man that holds grudges and women who fuss and stew and fight and argue, they die. Notice he talked about the men and the women. The men that hold grudges, women that fuss and stew. Look over to your neighbor and said, he's talking about you right now. I heard a Pentecostal preacher say that one time. I thought I'd see what it was like. We're getting serious. You know, Brother Branham would make them laugh and then he'd make them cry. I read an article from CBN. It's a Christian broadcasting network, and it was wrote up in an article, and the scientists had proved that people that have these things in them, like unforgiveness, causes cancer. The title of the article was "The Deadly Consequence of Unforgiveness." We suffer. But I want to tell you something, and I would say, as I look out here, there are people in the sound of my voice that's suffering like you never suffered before. Say, is that discernment, Brother Bill? No, I pastor a church too. It's the age that we live in. And it's true here. It's true at my church. It's true everywhere. We're in this together. Okay? People are suffering. As a pastor, Brother Tim knows that. Any pastor knows that. People are suffering. But I want to say this to you. There's somebody out there that's suffering worse than you. There's somebody maybe sitting next to you or in this church that's suffering worse than you. We want to think sometimes that it ends with us. But see, there's something in us. There's a creative power within us that's greater than any suffering we go through. Aren't you glad that you have it?
Amen.
Where would we be? You say, it's the end of the world for me. And maybe it feels that way. But maybe it's imaginary too. But something imaginary can be real. I was at a graveyard in Melville, Louisiana here recently. Preached a funeral. My wife's cousin was there. I think it was her mother. She had died in a hit-and-run car accident. If it wasn't her mother, it was my wife's sister. But this girl's mother that I'm talking about, I think it was her funeral. But anyway, I remember standing at the graveyard and, Mary, where are you at? What was her name? Lynn. Lynn, to me, she's a young girl. I don't know how old she is. But I watched her. She was standing at a grave. And on that grave was the names of three little girls. Little small girls. It was her children, her only children. Three girls buried together. Her house caught on fire. Her girls were upstairs. Screaming for, Mama! Help me. Mama! Save me. Mama! She stood outside and couldn't do one thing to get them kids. I thought to myself as I looked at her, looking at them names on that, how can she live? She's not even a Christian like I am. There's not a day that goes by. There's not a time that she lays down and goes to sleep. She thinks about that night. She rehashes it over and over. What could I have done different? Is there anything I could have done? It haunts her day and night. Day and night. And then traveling with her mother, and her mother get killed in a hit and run accident. Why do some people suffer more than others? I don't know. But there's nobody that maybe suffers like we as the bride, but in a different way. But we have something in us. We have God in us. We have the Word of God in us. We have a creative power in us. It's creating another world. It's creating another body. It's creating another place that'll be free from all these things. Here the other day, it was after Wednesday service, one Wednesday night, the next day I just really felt bad. I don't know why. You know, sometimes you do. You just feel like you don't have a friend in the world, you know. And we were going to have a prayer meeting on Thursday night. This brother won't have a prayer meeting at his house. We started doing this here recently. And I know that your prayer meeting is in your prayer closet alone. That's what we're taught. But here lately, we've been having a little spark of a revival taking place. And we would go, those that would want to, and sometimes in the area that was close by could come. I'd tell them, bring your kid, lay them on the floor, and let them, you know, and we'd have a prayer meeting. And just to get people in that atmosphere. And oh my, the Spirit of God come down and I left there so happy, you know. And it was just what I needed. It was just a prayer meeting. But it was like the Lord came walking through that little room. What was that? It was a creative life. It was a creative life in the words and in the actions of the people as they came together with a desire to touch God. The next day I got up and it seemed like that thing began to try to come back, and then suddenly the phone began to ring, and there was some pastoral calls locally, very encouraging words that were being spoke by different people. Man, Brother Ivy, I was blessed by this or that, or a testimony, and even from overseas, and a little bit I was feeling like I was 10 foot tall. I had the devil by the tail on a downhill drag, and there's nothing they could defeat me. What was it? Creative power. Huh? In somebody else. It was creating something in me that I needed. I hope that I can create something in you now. I don't have the power to create, but I do have the power to create. But God is a creator. And if this is His word at all, it will create. The next morning I got up and seemed like that thing began to hit me again. I said, where is it coming? It's the age we're living in. I got a call from a brother in Nigeria. I remember I preached this meeting as the second time, and they'd come out of a movement that was, I don't want to say what it was, but they'd come out of that movement, you know, and they were trying to, you know, and a lot of churches had come together, and I got up that Sunday morning, and I thought, this is the second time I've been there, and I didn't want to come back. And I said, well, you know, I'm gonna just tell it like it is, and then I don't have to worry about coming back. And I said, you may have come out of it, but it's got to come out of you. And, you know, and that type of thing. And I thought, I'll never hear from that brother again. He called me that morning, you know, thanking me for coming. And you've got to come back and this and that, you know. And it just began to, it was a word that began to be spoken. It began to create something in me. To preach the word, no matter what, preach the word. If I don't do it, somebody else will. But I can tell you about me, and I can tell you about Brother Tim, and I can tell you about Brother Branham, and I can tell you about other things, and those things are good and wonderful, but secondhand information can bore you after a while. And I know in humility this congregation is seeking deeper things, seeking more life, knowing that the complete Word of God rests within you. And the very command of your voice is a creative power. Because in you is the Holy Ghost of God. The Holy Ghost is a creator. The word spoken becomes God in action. And because the life in Christ. Now listen, this is, I'm coming down to a close. It's Wednesday night. And I've preached too long now. But the life in Christ made him the Son of God. This is important. By that same life, the creative power of God that is in this church made him the Son of God. Did you hear what I said? Can I say it again? He was made the Son of God by the same life, the same creative power that is in this church tonight. The only difference, he had it in a full measure. We have it as part of that body that's on the earth today. Now this is profound. It's not my words, okay? It comes from Christ, the mystery of God revealed, and some other things that our prophet said, but maybe not word for word, but Brother Tim will verify that this is the word. And so you listen. This is very profound. The life that was in God was poured into Christ. The life in Christ, the Holy Spirit fills us tonight, the believer, having the preeminence in our life. Not the world around us, not the culture around us. This message transcends every culture that there is, or ever has been, or ever will be. It has the preeminence. This life that has come, this creative power that made Jesus what he was, has come into a body, revealing the supernatural creative power of God. You have a new body waiting. You're not in it yet. But it'll be God's creative power that is in you now that'll speak like it did Adam. And you'll come forth. If you've been dead for 100 years, you'll come forth. If you're alive and remain, you'll come forth. You've got to come forth. Amen. You have that creative power. Let's bow our heads. Maybe if there's somebody here that has never been baptized in Christian baptism, I see the baptismal is still here.